Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And good morning to you on the other side of the camera, and welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren this morning for the sermon titled The Gossamer Wall. Our scripture lesson today comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. While you're looking that up, a great violinist had begun to notice that while he was playing, his playing had such a hypnotic effect on the audience. They sat motionless as if they were in a trance. He found that when he would sit in his backyard, the dogs and cats would come from out of the neighborhood areas and settle in to watch him play. And they would sit there in a trance, spellbound. He got to thinking, wonder if I could, as the saying says, tame the ferocious beast with music. And so he packed up his violin and his music, and he jumped on an airplane, and he headed for Africa. And he went into the deepest part of Africa, and he found a wonderful clearing. And he set himself up, and he sat down, and he started to play his beautiful music. A lion came charging into the clearing, and an elephant and a gorilla, intent on bringing him harm. And when they heard the music, they skidded to a stop and sat down on their haunches and began to listen. Mesmerized by the music, other animals came out. Snakes and tigers and more came out, and he was playing. Suddenly the clearing was filled with every kind of ferocious animal, each one listening intently, when out of the blue another lion charged from out of the bushes into the clearing and jumped on the violinist and began to attack him and bite him and carry on. And the violinist beat him on the nose with a violin and run off into the clearing bleeding and screaming. And after all the commotion, one lion walked up to the other one and said to him, "Why in the world did you do that?" And the attacking lion turned to him and put his paw up to his ear and went, "Huh?" Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. May God add His blessings to these words as we seek Him in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You. We ask that in this moment we put aside everything in our heart that deals with anything outside those doors, and we find ourselves on Your message today, sent down for our strengthening. Father, let us hear these words. Let us know it was good to be here. Let us use them in the coming week. Let us find peace and comfort in them. And all of God's children said, Amen. How much faith do you have? That is a question that is very, very little asked. And yet it's one question that's often needed. How much faith do you have? You know why we don't ask that question? Because we are afraid of offending someone. We are calling in to them and taking them away from their security if they're a Christian or a God-fearing person. If you ask that question, you can find that you offend people. What do you mean, how much faith do I have? Don't you realize I'm a Christian? Don't you realize I go to church? Don't you realize this, that, and the other? How much faith do you have? I'm asking you. Do you trust God? Do you trust Jesus? How much? During the Blitz, and I have read about it multiple times, but during the Blitz, the English people, especially those in London, which was the center of all the bombing, were faced with it regularly. At night, they would turn the lights out, and the German Luftwaffe would fly over top and just pound the English countryside to beat them into submission. It was the thought of Adolf Hitler that if he took away everything they had by just barraging them, that they would give up. It was nothing for every day for the English people to be found cleaning up and then going back to work. During those terrible days, a father holding a small son by his hand was running to a bomb shelter as the air raid siren sounded when a bomb fell and exploded not too far from them. In the front yard was a shell hole as they continued to rain down, and he knew he wouldn't make it to the shelter, so seeking it as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole and held his arms out for his son to follow, terrified. Yet hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, "I cannot see you. I can't jump. I can't see you." The father, looking up against the sky, tinted with burning buildings, against the sound of airplanes flying over, called to the silhouette of his son, "But I can see you." The boy jumped because he trusted his father. The Christian faith enables us to face life or meet death, not because of what we can see, but with the certainty that we are seen. Not that we know all the answers, but that we are known by God. Amen. How much faith do you have? Do you trust God? Do you trust Jesus? I came across this writing from Samuel Rutherford, who quoted one of the great writers, whom I love reading, in a book called Prodigals, aptly named enough, Prodigals and Those Who Love Them by Ruth Bell Graham. I'm a prodigal. He quotes her in this book with this saying, "Duties are ours, events are God's." When our faith goes to meddle with events and to hold account upon God's providence and beginneth to say, "How wilt thou do this or that?" we lose ground. We have nothing to do there. It is our part to let the Almighty exercise His own office, steer His own helm. There is nothing left for us but to see how we may be approved of by Him and how we roll the weight of our weak souls upon Him who is God omnipotent. And when we thus essay miscarrieth, it shall be neither our sin nor our cross. In that little statement, I'll break it down for you into hillbilly ease. Are you ready? When we tell God what to do with us, we mess everything up. Now, I'm telling you, everybody in this room thinks that they can tell God what to do with our lives. At least at one time in your life, you've done it. Say amen, and I'm watching. Because remember, you're in church, and if you lie to the preacher on Sunday morning in church, you are going to get smited on top of the head. That sounds right this time, doesn't it? Seriously, when we, and this is what he's writing, when we decide that we know what's best for us and we tell God what to do with us, I imagine he laughs heavily. I imagine he looks down and goes, "Really? Let me see. Well, I don't see in this manual that you made your own self. Let me say something here. Well, have you made a tree? No. Did you make it rain? No. Let me just keep looking through this instruction manual that I carry, Paul Leatherman. When you tell me what you're going to do and how I'm going to do it for you, I'm going to laugh at you, Paul. And I'm going to do fun things because I have a sense of humor. After all, I created giraffes. Go ahead, laugh. I dare you. Why did he make a giraffe? Everybody tells me the same thing. Well, he made their necks long, Paul, so they could reach them special leaves in the tree. Why did he make the tree shorter? He has a sense of humor. So that all I would do for the rest of my life is go, "Why are there giraffes?" I'm sure he looks upon when I do that with humor. In that quote, it says, "It is our part to let God do His own thing, His own way, and it is our job to make sure that we are approved by God when He's doing it for us." How do we come approved by God? We ask Him in prayer, and then we step back behind the gossamer wall. The what? The gossamer wall. What does faith mean? Does it mean looking for something big and huge when you are at your lowest point? By show of hands in here, how many people have been at a low point in their life? Let's see, that's pretty much everybody. And when you get to that low point, is there something at that low point that you've decided, God, I'm at the lowest point in my life. Send me something big to show me you're there. That's our nature. We want to see stars align up. We want to see explosions in the heaven. We want to see a Lincoln Continental drop out of the sky when the truck breaks down on the side of the road. That ain't His way. God says that I will give you what you need when you need it. And sometimes it's in the simplest forms. The Karama Islands surrounding Okinawa were captured preemptively on March 26th by the 77th Infantry Division. The 82-day battle lasted from 1 April until June 22, 1945, some of the most intense fighting that saw casualties, to which considered it to be the bloodiest battle of the entire Pacific theater in World War II. 50,000 U.S. soldiers lost their lives fighting to free the Japanese who had been killed by the thousands because they didn't bow down to the emperor. The Allies were planning to use an air base there to launch a greater effort to end the war, a planned invasion of the Japanese homelands that were 340 miles away. They had to take the island so that they could safely establish the air base with which to launch the fighters and bombers to bring the war to an end. During the intense fighting against the Japanese in Okinawa, a Marine got separated from his unit amid the explosions and smoke and chaos of a battle. He was alone in the hills of dangerous enemy territory. The sun was setting, and the stranded Marine, trying to find his way, heard the approach of the Japanese soldiers. He knew what was coming when they found him. He knew they wouldn't just kill him. He went to take refuge in some of the caves on the ridge in order to hide. It was no use. As minutes passed, he realized that the Japanese soldiers were methodically searching every nook, crevice, and cave looking for him. With grim resignation, he realized his own death was imminent and inevitable. It was only a matter of time before the enemy would approach his cave and find him in the recesses, but being a Christian, having brought up being a Christian, he prayed to God, "Lord, if it be your will, please protect me. Whatever your will, though, I love you and I trust you. Amen." How strong is your faith? Do you trust God? Do you trust Jesus? How strong is your faith when things around you seem to be their absolute worst? Is it the time that you take for hand-wringing and woe is me and God, have you forgotten about me? Or is it that moment that drives you closer to the Almighty who loves you, who created you and sent His Son to save you? I know the honest answer, so I'll answer for Paul Leatherman. Many times in my life, at my lowest point, I have cried out, "Why me? Why is everything going wrong for me? Why don't I get taken care of?" Because I'm a human and I have been scared and afraid. As he prayed, he observed a spider building a web over the crawl space of the entrance to the cave, and he laughed at it. Well, he thought, I needed a brick wall, and the Lord has sent me a spider web. I guess the Lord isn't going to help me out on this one. How many times have we felt the same way? But he remained extremely still and quiet preparing for his last stand. As he listened, the enemy was getting closer and closer. He knelt down, aimed his rifle, and got ready. Suddenly shadows appeared over the entrance of the cave, and yet to his surprise, the Japanese soldiers talked for a moment, passed by his cave, and didn't search it. Then he realized what happened and could not stop the tears. The spider web was a sign to the Japanese soldiers that there no one had entered this cave. A man entering his cave would have cleared away the web with his body. It didn't occur to the enemy that the web was made after the Marine entered. Through his tears, he prayed, "Forgive me, Father. I had forgotten that you, a spider's web as strong as you would make, is stronger than a brick wall." He remained hidden until the cave was clear so he could rejoin his fellow Americans. He was protected behind the gossamer wall. Every year, I enjoy what goes on around our house. As a matter of fact, I have read up on ways to promote it. Now, my wife and family think I have lost my mind. And that's all right, because that's a regular occurrence that happens. What time is it? It's already happened at least once today. But during the spring and during the summer, we get them great big old huge orange and black and yellow and black garden spiders. Them ones get to be about that big, and they make them great big giant webs, and I'll ease out there and I'll catch them and I'll set them up on my hand and I'll put them right there in my face and look in all eight of their eyes at once. You're so beautiful. And I'm thinking that they're thinking, if I just bite him on the nose. But they are a beautiful, beautiful creature. And the webs are beautiful. And do you know how hard it is for me to move anything to disturb one of those webs? Because they make their webs over top everything I own. Especially when I go out to mow the grass. They've put me a nice present across the seat of the mower. And I have to pick them up. I'll pick them up. I'm like, "Listen, sweetheart, I love you." And they walk around and then they sit down right there. And they're usually about this big. And they're all fuzzy and you can pet them. What? What is with all the cringing? Well, I know what it is. I promise you all, I'm sorry that I'm failing my duty. I promise you all that this spring when one gets growed, I'll bring one in for us to see at church. How's that? And anybody can come pet it. And I have to pick them up from that web. And I have to say, "I love you for what you did." And I have to carry them somewhere else in the yard and put them down so they go back to work. And then it breaks my heart to destroy that gossamer wall. And I'll go mow the grass. And the next day, they've put the web back up. God made a gossamer wall answering a Marine who was doing his duty by praying. God gave him the event. Not a brick wall, not a stone wall, but a gossamer wall. He used our weakness to show us how great he is. 1 Samuel 17. Strength from weakness, a gossamer wall. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic and put his coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, but because he was not used to it, he couldn't. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off, took his staff in his right hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag and sling, and with his own hand walked up to the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked over David and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome. And he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you came at me with sticks? Are the Philistine cursed by David and his God? Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the air, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, he took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck the Philistine down and killed him. David ran over and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut his head off with the sword. You have to read that last verse, because if you're going to tell a story, you've got to tell the whole story. And that makes you go, yes! In weakness, little David... Little teeny tiny David. Little short fella, but so tall. Ruddy, handsome, little fella, about 18 years old. If you know the story, then you know the giant was about so tall. He was 9 foot tall. And in case you only figured that out, that's from that floor to right there. 9 foot tall, arms that big around. Had somebody carry his shield. And little teeny tiny David walked up to him, hit him in the head with a rock, because God had said, I favor you, I have heard your prayers, I know what you are, I know who you are, you have been found to be approved by me, and thus I will give you the event, for your weakness is my strength. And saved Israel. It's when our fear controls us that we lose sight of our faith and trust in God. George Patton in Sicily was meeting with a governor who was praising him as part of the effort that freed that area. He was giving him high praise for courage and bravery. And General Patton replied, I am not a brave man. The truth is, I'm an utter craven coward. I have never been within the sound of gunshot or in sight of battle my whole life that I wasn't so scared that I had sweat in the palm of my hands. Yet years later, when his autobiography was written, it contained a significant statement by the general. I learned very early in my life never to take counsel in those fears and offer them to God. How great is your faith? Anybody ever lock their keys in their car? Oh, is that a feeling of utter helplessness? Say amen.
Amen.
The first thing you do is start looking for a brick. This poor woman had locked her keys in her car. And she didn't know what to do. She'd come out to dry cleaners. She had her dry cleaning in one hand, her purse in the other, and looked in and saw her keys hanging in the ignition. She began to become hysterical because she had to go pick up her daughter from school. And she prayed, God, I don't know what to do. Can you help me? And about that time, a man heard her. He said, hold on, I'll give you a hand. He said, can I borrow one of them coat hangers and I'll get you in your car? And so he folded the thing around and slipped it in through the window and got a hold of the door and popped the thing open. And she began to praise him. Thank you for helping me. You're such a saint. You're such a wonderful man. And the man looked at her and said, well, I'll be honest with you, ma'am. I just got out of jail last week for car theft. And she put her hand on his shoulder and looked toward heaven and said, Father, you answered my prayers, got me out of this situation, and sent a professional to do it. The truth of the matter is, we really need only to trust in our faith. That trust leads to trust in God, that faith who has rewarded our faith and trust by giving us the love of Jesus Christ and saving us now and forevermore. Now, I often hear it in my position as a pastor, Paul, I'm scared. I hear it a lot when someone is in the hospital and waiting. Guess what? It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay because we have the one thing that we truly need. We have Jesus Christ. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was the forgiveness of our sins, the place to put our trust, the place to strengthen our faith. Faith. God sent us Jesus, the Savior. There's a poem that says, "Trust Him when doubts assail thee. Trust Him when thy strength is small. Trust Him to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him, He is ever faithful. Trust Him, He will be best. Trust Him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place that you can rest." And because of that, when this world beats down on us, when we need that place to hide, God builds us that gossamer wall. Something so simple that saves us so easily. We know because of that we will be safe from anything forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for what You have given. We thank You for what You take away. We thank You for the teachings. We thank You when we are afraid, when we are scared, when we are losing our faith, when we are full of doubt, when we are losing our trust. Father, use that moment to put that small voice back in gear that says, trust. Strengthen your faith over something as simple as a spider's web to protect us. Something so thin and so flimsy that has so much strength is but a mere event from God Almighty. We know the greatest event was giving us His Son to save us. Strengthen our faith in this week to come, Father. Let us turn to You again and again and again, that we may have this week be less than it would be. Go ahead, Father. Build us that gossamer wall. We understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.